It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Alex is here. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hi, Mikey. I'm okay.
I bet you've been spending the whole week, a beautiful week, good weather like this, inside watching TV.
That's not too distant from the truth, to be honest. Yeah, I have spent some hours indoors. Been binging.
Working, man.
Working real hard with my eyes on the television. Sorry for everybody else out there who doesn't get to watch TV for their job.
Yeah, you know, I mean, put it in the hard yards, you get the rewards, don't you, Alex?
Let's not unpack the term job on air. So we're going to talk this morning about a show that we have mentioned several times on this segment before. Fargo.
Oh,
it's like almost become.
Exactly.
Yeah. We brought it up several times to kind of like reference as a watermark, as like a high point of TV production over the last few years, and it's so I've finally managed to get around to watching the third season.
So you've seen the first two, obviously.
I've seen the first two, yeah.
Because I can imagine a professional like you, whose job this is, that you wouldn't just jump in third season, would you?
Well, okay, so
to a series, just in general.
I mean, here's a little premise setup that's kind of like that speaks to that. I think, like, for people that don't know, most people will know, but Fargo is based on the film, and each season takes a new set of characters and a new storyline completely. So this is a show that you could jump entirely into the third season completely blind. For everybody, you know, for every other show, you probably wouldn't want to do that.
So are they all time continuity?
The first one is set in the present day. The second one is in the 70s, I think.
And the third one's sort of halfway between them both, isn't it?
The third one is 2010. Yeah. And it gets a lot of material from the fact that some characters are stuck in the past, and, you know, now there are computers and cell phones and things like that. So, okay, like, just off the bat, I just want to say, because, like, we're going to...
Have you seen the movie?
Yes. Put that out there for a second. We'll come back to that. But I just want to say that this show is incredible. I'm going to pick at some things, but I just want to say that outright, like, you should watch this TV show.
By all means, pick at the sore.
People should watch this TV show no matter how much I pick at the sore. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm going to ask you this before you get into it. Did you, a brief overview of your thoughts on season one and two?
More amazing than the third season. No, okay. So here is my like list of appreciation. I think it goes two is untouchable, man. Two is just such an apex of the form. I think it's so great.
War Pigs at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are things happening in two that I didn't think anybody was capable of doing on television. I'm blown away by that season of TV constantly.
You do have to give a few shout outs to Wobbly Bob though in the first one. He's fantastic.
So two, three and one. Arguably on a par with each other.
I think mountain. Exactly. Peaks in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Peaks and troughs.
I think a key difference that I've sort of glommed onto with the third season is that the characters here feel like more genuine degenerates than they do in.
It's quite sad, eh?
Yeah. And I. There was a real sense of like moral uprightness that permeated the second season. Even in the bad guys, you know, you still got the sense that they were doing things for honor and for family. Whereas here, Ewan McGregor's character feels like a genuine drip. Exactly. I should say characters because he plays both, and they are both drippy, but incredibly.
Yeah, come on, James Franco, take a look at that.
Man, I wonder if the Emmys next year is just going to... There's going to be an entire award for actors,
people that
actors playing
two
themselves. Yeah. I listened to a really interesting interview with Noah Hawley where he talked about their process for doing that. And I'm sure
who's he? Who's Noah Hawley?
He's the creator of the show, who also created Legion that we were talking about last week. Viewmaster MVP. So the second season was set in the 1970s, and I feel like it was a very deliberate thing to have this kind of sense of moral fortitude in that season.
Family.
Exactly. Right. And it was like, I think it was exploring ideas of like American nostalgia. And it's also likely that the idiocy of these characters in season three is very deliberate because it's kind of an exploration of the American future, you know? And I think he's really unpicking something like about stupidity and about idiocy and about...
They kind of look at that those old ways just aren't going to... Those chops aren't going to work anymore. You know, it's like you can't, you know, relying on, like, they're just, like, you know, the little little dude in the sort of Russian, sort of contract.
Yeah, so awesome.
The third one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're nothing apart from paid murderers.
They're always those characters, and so Carrie Coon's police chief as well is also like they're talking to a time that was different than what the world is moving into. And
good, that's what I meant to say just then.
Yeah. So is it kind of adapt or die?
Totally. Yeah.
And a lot of them die.
Carrie Coon's police chief is amazing, and she kind of represents this. She's this sort of like invisible person in the world. She doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't have a computer. Her whole police department still operates on telexes and faxes. And she
they're all still a bit weirded out that she's a chick.
Whoa. And it is exactly like that. Like adapt or die. So this is kind of quibbling, though. Like, I mean, it's
feel free to quibble.
It's hard to have a show, I think, where like it's bread and butter is dramatic irony, and you know so much more than the characters do, especially the police chief, because she's kind of the only hero in the show. And heroism, I think, is something that's important, especially when you're looking at the other two seasons, where even though you had
shout out for Ted Danson,
man. I can't get enough of that guy. I can't get enough of him and his amazing wig.
Do you reckon it's not real?
Oh, it's definitely not real. It's definitely just have a little Google in your own time of Ted Danson bald.
And you see, why would you do that to poor old Teddy D?
He's open about it. He's cool with it.
You need to know there's a TV reviewer on New Zealand googling whether he's bald or not.
He's cool with it. Ted Danson wants everybody to know that he's wearing a toupee. The T stands for toupee.
He freaks me out. He actually should do
a line of fake hair.
Oh, it looks good, right?
The Ted Danson toupee.
It's really convincing.
Obviously.
Yeah, he looks great. I'm interested in like at what point you stop wearing the brown like wig and you switch to silver one.
Just overnight.
Mike Perot mortgages.
Okay,
just for a guy who's got the wrong colour eyebrows, the rest of his hair. Just saying.
So we're talking about Ted Danson for all the listeners because he's in the second season of Fargo.
Is he the first one as well? Maybe.
No, he's not. He's no. Because it's a different time.
Yeah, of course.
I've got a bit of a take, guys. Fargo the TV show is better than Fargo the movie.
Yes, I agree.
Wow.
I agree. Even though
I was expecting a little bit of pushback on that, but I'm glad you agree.
I love the beginning of Fargo when it says, it sort of says this is a story based on true events.
It's not.
But isn't that great the way that they say that and it's not?
and they do this kind of cute, clever thing where they fade out, like, this is based on true events, blah, 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 whatever, and they fade out all the other words and just leave this as a story up momentarily before kicking into the actual show.
I didn't even notice that.
It's really good.
See, that's why we have Alex.
Yeah, but I knew it wasn't real. I was just saying. I just thought it was cool the way that they... It's like when we started our TV show, we used to say it was New Zealand's favourite half hour of TV until everyone did say that. We just made it up.
Until it generally
just
was.
Just say it.
Just
make it
up. Works for the National Party.
In honour of that, I've got a few other TV shows, a small list, that I think are better than the film that was the parents of them.
Get your angry texts ready, listeners.
5395. Yeah, thank you very much. Get ready. Stand by.
Number five.
Yes.
MASH.
Oh, yeah. Solid.
Arguably trying for different things, primarily in terms of their subversiveness, I think. But I think in terms of sheer cultural impact, you can't deny that the show had a bit greater success
for sure
in the film.
When's the last time you watched an episode of MASH?
I don't even know.
I watched one not that long ago, but a couple of years ago. And man, it's quite dark. Yeah, like even the TV. I know the movie's really dark, but the TV show's really quite.
Yeah.
You forget how much slaughter was in it.
Yeah. I've read this. I don't know this because I was so young when it kind of came out.
But, oh yeah, same. Yeah.
But I read that it was like that a lot more in the earlier seasons before it kind of became this tightly controlled laugh track. I mean, it was
one of the almost very last episodes, then it was still okay. It was
stand corrected.
I'm just saying.
Okay, moving along.
Hustle it up. Come on, people.
Number four, Tremors. You might not have even known that Tremors was a TV show.
I've seen the film.
The film. You don't know the film, Mikey?
I know the film.
Okay, great. Phew. So Tremors.
Goes average.
They turned Tremors into a TV show in 2003 on Sci-Fi, and I included it not necessarily because the show was better than the film, but because first of all, the Tremors franchise should never die, and I just actually wanted to tell the story. But on the night it premiered, they were supposed to play episodes 1 and 2 back to back,
and a massive worm came under the ground.
They played episodes 1 and 6 instead. And do you know what they did? They recut the entire TV show to make it work. And they ended up playing the second episode as the finale. It's so bizarre.
So it became like an
Yeah, really.
It was like, that rubbish like that they could just jostle it around.
Yep. I can't really ask me any more questions about that because that's about all the research I did into that anecdote. But
I had to just spend that time looking up Ted Danson's bald spot.
Yeah. But
okay. I got a text in. Tremors is the show.
It's coming back.
It's not.
For that person, it's coming back with Kevin Bacon. Sci-fi reordered a pilot.
Jesus
2018.
Christ, what's going on in the world?
God, at least he's going to be amazing. At least he didn't say yes to flatliners.
Okay, number three, moving along. The girlfriend experience. This is just a tease, a shout out to next week's Viewmaster. We're gonna
I quite like that show.
Okay,
there was a movie of it.
Yeah, it's a Steven Soderbergh film. Yeah. So shelve it. We'll talk about it next week. Shelve it. Shelve the girlfriend experience. We'll talk about it next week.
Here comes the sting.
That's on the shelf.
Number two, Fargo, is just as we were talking about. I remember thinking about this TV show in reference to the film and thinking that the film was untouchable and like what was new to say about it. But I feel like Noah Hawley just took the themes of the film and splattered them across this canvas.
It's a big call.
It's so good.
Okay,
number one.
Can we say shout out to Ewan McGregor? Can I say that? Oh, he does an amazing job.
He does an incredible job.
Because he's done some rubbish. He's done some such good stuff. And then you go, oh, what's this one you're doing? This is The Island or whatever that one is with Scarlett. Oh, Jesus.
The hard thing about him is that he is so drippy. So you're like, you're kind of like frustrated by him.
I happen to love Moulin Rouge, just so you know.
Moulin Rouge is a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready for number one TV show?
Here we go.
Buffy.
I knew
Sarah was gonna. This is probably the goat of TV shows made from the movie.
The goat. Did you say the ghost or the goat?
The goat. The greatest of all time. Sarah, you want to
really?
Take?
Really?
You want to take this one?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the greatest of all time TV shows.
No, like greatest of all time made from a movie. It's so much better than the
Planet of the Apes. Anyone's ever been looking? Planet of the Apes.
I'm glad you said Buffy because somebody texted in saying, "Don't you dare say Dune."
I love the movie June.
But Buffy,
I've actually seen the movie June.
Buffy's rewatchability is so strong. Oh god! And it's really.
Oh, what's strong about it?
It's just great.
I think the serialization of the format is really sympathetic to high school stories more so than it is in the film.
More than Beverly Hills 90.
Much like all of the classic, like really really strong long running 90s shows, they became so strong.
They went on for too long.
No, but they could become so flexible that within their runs they could just do huge diversions from the normal format. They could do like a musical episode.
Yeah.
They could
I love that. That's what TV's all about.
So X-Files and Buffy, huge rewatchability for that reason.
Yeah. What about because that X-Files that has got that's got old Reese? What's the name in it?
Like the X-Files show.
Yeah, the X-Files TV show that's got Reese. Well, yeah, Reese. Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Reese Darby.
No. I love you, Reese Darby, but worst X-Files episode ever.
I would agree with you.
Terrible.
The hot take machine is fired up well and truly in the office this morning. Mm. So, bringing it back to Fargo.
Very briefly.
I mean, what else to say other than just go and watch the show? The soundtrack is really good. We're going to go out on a song, as has been our want for the past few weeks. This is a song by Adriano Celentano, who is...
Celentano.
Celentano.
That's right, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of like Italy's Elvis Presley?
A little bit. He also dressed like a tramp for many years.
Amazing.
So he was a kind of same. He was a top 40 crooner who would be all over RAI television doing these weird, huge set dance videos and singing these top 40 songs, but would dress kind of like a tramp because that was just his buzz.
So this song is used to dramatize a sequence in which the characters play the game Bridge. In a competition, and it's a pinnacle of sound and vision matching.
My God, that's a great bit of storytelling. The way that they start that off,
it's amazing. It's amazing. Like it sort of enters this slow-mo Tarantino kind of vibe. You know,
so like that last series, the series three is quite Tarantino-esque, isn't it?
I would agree with that, especially in the soundtrack. I think the musical direction.
I think the soundtrack has been phenomenal since season one. Yeah. Especially two or three are phenomenal though.
Yeah,
it's so almost. You're both,
we just love music.
Two thumbs.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
four thumbs all around.
Four thumbs.
Yeah. A myriad of thumbs.
Here we go. All thumbs.
Help yourself. Thumbs for everyone.
Kick it in the guts. Streaming on Neon Fargo. Watch it now.
Kick it in the guts. Here
this
are the
is
stars.
Called Prison Colonization and Cusol, and apparently, apparently it's complete gibberish, but it is to Italian ears what American English sounds like.
Prison Colonization and Cusol.
You're the cold maze,
say one, prison, calling, answer, and choose all. All right. We're the same as choosing, I will hold, build the scene, then a whole red maybe get the color boss dying.
Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.